So, Wednesday morning, I had been working on my message for today and had pretty much, just based on what I was seeing through social media and early news reports, realized that it was necessary to change the message, to talk more about what was directly impacting us. And as I'm sitting there trying to sort out what exactly that might look like, we got a phone call, and Kate calls over to me and says, it's the local newspaper, do you want to talk to them? And I was like, do I have to? And I said, of course, yeah, we'll talk to them. And so she talked to me for 15 or 20 minutes about how the election and the results were going to impact my service. And I just simply said, I'll be changing my message, and I'll probably be focusing on community in some way. And I didn't think much about it. I thought, well, that was nice. I'm glad they're talking to people. Then it ended up on the front page. Thursday morning front page. A little bit of pressure there. All that's to say, I did rewrite my message, and it is very specifically about the results of the election as well as kind of the state of the nation. Early on, it's going to be easy to hear what I'm saying to sound a little political. I hope that you'll work with me through that, recognizing that I'm trying to maybe set the scene to get to our deeper point of what we might be able to do and the kinds of things and perspective we should take on. The message is entitled A Call to Arms. I imagine also whether you are a Trump supporter or a Clinton supporter, or even if you don't support either of them, that by the time this message is over, I will have said something that bothers you. Hopefully, though, I will also manage to communicate something of worth and value. But I'm fairly certain, while that part's hopeful, I'm fairly certain most folks are going to be a little bit bothered one way or the other. That being bothered is really a big part of the problem that our nation is facing. You see, I promise you, I worked diligently to be fair and to be even-handed in what I'm saying here. As best as I can, I'm going to try to support my perspective with facts and sound logic. But in this political season, most of us have an agenda of some sort, a belief that we have the best perspective of what's really going on. And for too many, and far too many, seem to believe that opinions, even those backed by facts and reality, which don't match their own, are just simply wrong, misguided, or misinformed, or worse yet, they're dangerous. Frankly, I'm sort of less concerned with how we got here, or who to point fingers at and blame, and I'm more concerned with the fact that we are here. You see, each side has offered us a call to arms, a call to arms to their constituents, and most of us have bought into it to some degree. We have villainized the other. And yes, even we liberals who like to believe that we're all about equality and love and forgiveness have done this. The vitriol, the anger, the hate being expressed by both sides, particularly on social media, should be seen as an embarrassment. And then, you know, even as I say that, in this very moment, there are probably those here in this very room who are busily in their own heads pointing fingers at the other side saying, well, they made it this way. They made it this way. Each side has a tendency to agree, to believe that their side represents the majority of Americans. Each side has a tendency to believe that their side is the side of true Americans. But the reality is that we're practically split right down the middle. Donald Trump won the electoral vote. Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. I mean, here in our own state, a very heated governor's race between two starkly different candidates, as starkly different as white, straight Christian men can be. Our governor's race has yet to be officially decided with less than 1/10 of 1% percent of the votes deciding the difference at this point. The bottom line is we're a divided nation. None of us own the one true perspective of Americans, and neither side ultimately gets to claim a higher spiritual ground. Because central to the teaching of most major spiritual movements is the concepts of love and acceptance. With few exceptions, but there are a few, little of what has been expressed publicly since the election seems to have been rooted in love and acceptance. Rather, much of the chatter on the ground from both sides further encourages division, distrust, and degrading of the other. Now, hopefully, however, we can all agree on this reality. In a political season where the KKK is having a victory parade and liberal protests are sometimes turning violent, we, America, have a real problem. Our political system is undeniably broken. As a matter of fact, many political analyses point to that very reality that the system is broken. To bring together an understanding of the surprising success of presidential-elect Trump. Trump has even made setting term limits on Congress the very first part of his presidential agenda, as well as a 5-year ban on White House and congressional officials becoming lobbyists after they leave government service. We're a divided people governed by a broken system. Each camp is in a panic that the true American dream is about to be lost. So we all dig our feet in and we demonize the other side and their perspective and diligently work to win, which also tends to mean we understand it as making sure the other side loses. After all, they're evil and wrong. The bad guy should lose, right? Only, we all seem to think to some degree that the other side is the bad side. And if we all think that the other side's the bad side, or at least worse than we are, then by default we're all on somebody's bad side. And to me, that is a surefire equation for all of us to lose. This call to arms that we have all bought into to some degree is killing the national morality, is killing the nation morally, intellectually, and spiritually. It's imperative for all of us that we do something about it. In many ways, I think that the depth of the passion and emotions we have seen in this election cycle is a symptom of how well we all actually already understand that. And believe it or not, it's actually somewhat helpful. It's somewhat hopeful. It means that many Americans really do want what's best for America, even if they disagree on what that looks like. It means that there is a great amount of energy out there looking for a productive way to strengthen our nation, even if we can't quite come to the same conclusions about what that looks like. The question, though, is how? How do we do it differently than we've been doing it up until this point? I truly do think that we can all agree that America is not what we think it should be. And I think that we can all agree we have been somewhat unsuccessful in getting it there with our current approaches. So the question is how? For me, the problem is that we have placed our trust, our energy, our efforts, our faith in the wrong place. We have collectively been convinced that the power structure of our nation is the only way to win America back. Our focus has landed squarely on the powerful and the elite because of the way the system works. They're the only ones from any side of the camp who gain access to governing and ruling power structure. I have a pretty active and vocal group on social media, And one particular meme that came across my newsfeed set me to questioning deeply our focus being set on the powerful and the structures that they operate within. Now, the meme itself was a direct response to the very real and unfortunately justified fears that many marginalized people in the U.S. now have after the election's over. Those paying attention heard the rhetoric throughout the campaign as tapes of a major candidate were released degrading and objectifying women, as we learned that a vice president nominee was strongly anti-LGBT, as promises were made to deport Muslims and build a wall between U.S. and Mexico. Those fears have already been played out on the ground since the election. In North Carolina, the message Black Lives Don't Matter and Black Votes Don't Count was spray painted across a wall for all to see. Elsewhere in a Walmart, a woman shopping in a hijab had it ripped off of her head and was told, "This is not allowed anymore, so go hang yourself with it around your neck, not your head." And even in the left-leaning California, a gay man was smashed in the face with a beer bottle by an overly emboldened man who was thrilled that his candidate had won. And that's, I'm afraid, probably just the tip of the iceberg. But back to the meme. The meme that set me to considering our misplaced focus on how to impact real change in America. The meme read as follows. If you wear a hijab, I will sit with you on the train. If you're trans, I'll go to the bathroom with you. If you're a person of color, I'll stand with you if the cops stop you. If you're a person with disabilities, I'll hand you my megaphone. If you're an immigrant, I'll help you find resources. If you're a survivor, I'll believe you. If you're a refugee, I'll make sure that you are welcomed. If you're a veteran, I'll take up your fight. If you're LGBTQ, I won't let anyone tell you that you are broken. If you're a woman, I'll make sure you get home okay. If you're tired, I am too. You need a hug? I have an infinite supply. If you need me, I'll be there for you. All I ask is that you be with me too. I believe we have been placing our primary focus of our energy in the wrong place. During his election run, Trump actually skillfully co-opted the issues that most connected with his base. Some of those issues tended to negatively single out anyone who wasn't a straight white male born in America. However, as he begins his transition into the office, he's already taking a less attacking tone and commented that he hopes that he can be the president for all people. So like any president about to take office, we don't really know what his presidency is going to look like. It's hard to say, although I am somewhat certain that most of us have our own personal ideas of exactly what we think it's going to look like. What we do know is that one of the immediate impacts was to embolden folks who dislike anyone different from them. And that by no means is fully representative of all Trump's supporters, but we do know that the U.S. has become a more frightening place to be if you're gay, if you're brown, if you're Muslim, if you're a woman, just to name a few. So I'm issuing a new call to arms. Not to Republicans, not to Democrats, not to independents, not to Tea Partiers, not to Bernie-crats. I'm issuing a call to arms to all people who believe that love and acceptance are central tenets of their spiritual perspectives, not to mention spiritual perspectives of most major religions. It's not the only thing that I'm about to propose. It's not the only thing that we can do to make things better, but it is one thing that we can do. And it's sort of a micro resistance. The micro resistance to fear and hate and division. It isn't big and flashy. As a matter of fact, it's quite small. And it's silver. It's a safety pin. In the midst of Brexit, the British exit from the European Union, which was based primarily on issues around immigration, many immigrants in Great Britain began to feel unsafe and fear for their safety. With the help of an American on social media, a movement began in response. People began wearing safety pins as a way to publicly identify themselves as a safe place for those who were feeling singled out and frightened. In a similar way, as the reports of violence towards LGBT folks, Muslims, and immigrants began happening after this past election, a few of us on social media started co-opting the pin idea, and word spread quickly. So, I'm asking some help to pass out pins for those who may want them. You certainly don't need to feel like it's a requirement. This is a choice that you can make if it's something that you are interested in. If you'll just pass those behind you. As I said, you can take one if you'd like. Certainly don't feel like you have to. This is just my call to arms for us. It's my call to arms. It's a call to open our arms and embrace those being marginalized. It's a call to lock arms together and make a human wall of love and protection. It's a call to massive micro resistance. That is, it's a call to gather as many people as we possibly can, both locally in our communities and throughout the U.S., to band together in a sign of solidarity and unity rather than signs of fear and division. See, I've become convinced that real change is seldomly brought upon us from the top down. As a matter of fact, those at the top of most systems actually benefit from the system not changing. I mean, how do you think they got there? What we need is a grassroots resistance to fear and division. Standing with those who fear being further marginalized, hurt, or abused not only is a real show of unity, but it also causes us to do the one thing that I have ever known to effectively and consistently change minds. Spending time with people who are not like us. Maybe even spending time with someone whom we once disliked or distrusted, or maybe spending time with someone who didn't vote the same way we did. When all of the divisions are based on stereotypical theoretical concepts of the others, it's very easy to build walls around our hearts and minds that allow us to demonize and to marginalize. But when we spend time with those very same people face to face, it's extremely difficult to do anything other than to humanize and empathize. What the U.S. needs now isn't just a change in mindset, we need a change in heart. And that, a change in heart, that is not something that can be legislated. It can only be cultivated day to day in the way that we interact with everyone we meet. We can choose to continue the divisions. We can choose to buy into this us versus them narrative, this national narrative of the political parties, but we cannot with any intellectual integrity expect that continuing to do so will provide us with any results other than the results that we are already getting. Or we can choose to flip the script. Practicing this massive micro resistance. Even if it changes nothing more than making the world a better, safer, more inclusive place for one person, it's worth it. It is worth it. I, however, I happen to believe that if enough of us would join in, it could change the world.